Hello, welcome, and thanks for checking in today to No Vacancy, the podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Palmer. I'm an Airbnb ambassador and 17-time super host, and I've hosted over 1,000 reservations. I'm a stay-at-home mom of two and manage my 8 listings remotely. My mission is to help new and experienced vacation rental hosts turn their listings into fully booked, profitable properties that can be managed from anywhere, so you too can have no vacancies. If that sounds good to you, let's get right into the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of No Vacancy, the podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Palmer, and today I have on Whitney White. You guys may know her from Instagram as, what's your username? Simple Clean Fit Wit.
Simple Clean Fit Wit.
Simple Clean Fit Wit. I love following you, Whitney, so much. Your account is one of my favorites. I just, like, there's something about the satisfaction of cleaning products and before and afters that just, like, oh, that is, like, porn to me on social media. So thank you so much for your account. Whitney is a professional short-term rental cleaner, and I would love to just ask you how you can set expectations with hosts, what is reasonable to expect from a short-term rental clean. Maybe we can go through some actual, like, cleaning tips on certain areas of the home or certain stains or anything like that. And I would love to just hear your story too of how you built your business, the flexibility it gives you. Lots of things I want to run through. So let's start off. Can I turn it to you? Do you want to introduce yourself? Also, another thing I'd love to ask you about today is social media. How do you prioritize your content? I feel like when I go in to clean a place, like, all I can think about is I have 4 hours to turn this over. How do you get such good content while you're there? So I threw a lot at you, but go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us how you got into short-term rental cleaning.
I'll try to make it long story short. So my family and I moved to Denver about 2.5 years ago. And at the time I was a stay-at-home mom and I had a small Instagram at the time, and I was sharing cleaning tips and, like, stay-at-home mom schedules and trying to keep your house clean while you're staying at home with little kids. And when we moved, our realtor who sold us our house was watching my Instagram and reached out to me and approached me with a business idea. He said, I love what you're doing on Instagram. I love all of your cleaning tips. Would you ever be interested in cleaning as a job? I immediately shot him down. I was like, no, love cleaning at home, love sharing my tips, but I don't want to do it as a job. No. And I think it was only a couple weeks later that I really thought about it and was like, you know what? I don't know anybody in Denver. I'm at home with my kids. It's not a bad idea. Let's get out of the house. Let's make some money. I'm going to give it a shot. So he had me doing, like, move in, move out cleanings and, okay, like, apartments, bigger houses. When he was having a
tenant.
And
this was a realtor. Right.
Yes.
You said it was,
yes,
a realtor who found you. Okay.
A realtor. Yes. The realtor that sold us our house. And so looking back, I was doing it by myself. I was going into these houses, apartments with my two kids and doing these big, deep cleans by myself. I gave it a shot. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get burnt out so fast. I've got my kids with me. These houses are huge. They're deep cleans because somebody's been living there for a year, 2 years, 3 years. And so just very quickly, probably 1 or 2 months in, through word of mouth, the Airbnb community, I feel like, is pretty small, actually, when you think about it. Through word of mouth, I got my first Airbnb job from someone that knew our realtor. And it was a small, like, carriage style Airbnb, one bedroom, one bathroom, no kitchen. And once I kind of got my foot in the door there and realized, like, okay, this is what Airbnb is about, I realized that's what I want to do. I don't want to do this move in, move out cleaning anymore. I want to do Airbnb. And shortly after that, also through word of mouth, landed another Airbnb job. And looking back at that one too, if you look at my Instagram, it's called Peach House. We still clean that one. It sleeps about 12 to 14 people. So I show up, it's a brand new Airbnb. They're getting it ready to list it on Airbnb, getting it ready for pictures. And I walk in there, not nervous at all, thinking, like, I got this. It's a brand new house. It's beautiful. show up for picture day clean so they can get it ready to list on Airbnb. And I was there for nine, almost 10 hours, just me, had my kids with me. I'm like unpackaging bedding and trying to make all the beds and make everything perfect. And I realized like, okay, this is what Airbnb is. I'm on my own. And I think about the eighth or ninth hour into it, I was in the basement crying. I was actually downstairs trying to make the bunk beds in tears. And I was like, I cannot do this. So I went home, and instead of quitting like I wanted to, I hired my first team member that night, got on Instagram, posted, I need help. And somebody came running right away. And that was when I hired my first team member. And so long story short, it all just took off after that. Word of mouth, kept getting jobs, kept using my Instagram to hire people. And now here we are.
How did you end up in the situation where you were like unpacking sheets and making beds for them? Because that's kind of outside of the scope of like a standard cleaning. Was that just like a miscommunication or something? Or you just agreed to it, not realizing like the time it would take?
Totally just agreed to it, thinking like, this is what I have to do. This is what they told me to do. They are now my boss. And now that I know, I've done quite a few picture day cleans now. And that is kind of part of our thing, is we undo all of the bedding and get the beds ready for pictures. And now it's funny because I will take my entire team into a picture day clean, and we will spend 2 to 3 days on those, where I was by myself, did it in one day, and I was crying. Now we have it all figured out, I think.
How old were your kids at that time? I would have been like, you guys are working for a mom today. Like, you're employed now. Child labor.
They were three and five.
Oh my gosh.
Before school started. Yes. So that was rough for all of us.
I see actually on a lot of your videos, it seems like you still do bring your kids to jobs. They're in school now, though, if I understand correctly.
I have one in school, and then my four-year-old is with me at every cleaning job.
How does that work? Like, are they just super – my kid would be like, Mom, I need a snack. Mom, I need a tangerine. Like,
that's what it is the whole time. And we joke sometimes. Most of us do have kids, so a lot of us bring our kids and they kind of entertain each other. But I'll share on my stories, like, we will walk into the house sometimes and it'll be perfectly clean, and we end up cleaning more than we did when we got there because our kids are eating or building forts or unmaking the beds. So it's a lot of work, but it's also like, it's a flexible stay-at-home mom job.
That's like good to say, because I think a lot of people would think like stay-at-home mom, like you can only do like virtual work or something, but you're actually getting out of the house and taking your kids and doing this with them. Do your owners ever push back or give you grief for bringing the kids? Do they care?
No. They're so used to it at this point that they just know we're not coming if our kids aren't coming.
Do your kids ever want to help clean? Like, I don't know. My daughter, she's like, she's three right now, and she models like everything I do. I feel like she'd go like grab a paper towel and wipe, even if she wasn't really helpful. But
my daughter, yes. My son is four and has zero interest in helping me. He messes, and that's about it.
Gotcha. Okay. So now you have a full blown team. Are you guys delegating or splitting up like who goes to which property on each day, or do you guys always come as a pack?
So most of our houses are bigger. So usually it's a two-person job. We have a couple that are maybe a one-person job. However, I have an assistant who does all of my scheduling. And what we try to do is assign a head cleaner to each property so that it's usually the same one or two people that are going there. They get used to it. It's very consistent. And of course, we can't always do that, just depending on schedules. And there really is no set schedule with Airbnb. It's kind of all over the place. But we do try to send the same people in there over and over again so it stays consistent.
Okay. That's good at least. Because I've always wondered, when you do get a bigger team, how are you making sure, like, if somebody stole something, that the cleaner is going to show up and recognize something is different or looks off? Okay.
Yeah. So that helps that situation too.
And then on cases where that doesn't happen, right, if somebody needs a day off or there's a sick day or something, how are you ensuring that that wasn't just the one day that like things went missing or disappeared?
So we have checklists at every single house and they follow that checklist. But not only that, we also do walkthrough videos at every single property, every single time we clean. And I can get into that later too. However, when somebody new or somebody who's not familiar with the house goes into it, they have those videos to look back on and you can sit and scroll the entire video to make sure everything is where it's supposed to be. Nothing is missing. You did everything the right way. So that helps a lot.
Okay, got it. How flexible would you say a cleaner should be when it comes to, I mean, we have this all the time that guests like last minute are like, can I check out tomorrow instead? And if the night's vacant, we'll let them, right? Or people want an early check-in or late check-out. Like how flexible are you with those kind of scheduling adjustments? Or what's the expectation set with the owner?
I will be honest, our owners already know to not even ask us because we all have kids, we have school pickup. They just know okay. Like we can't usually accommodate those. So of course we'll offer it to guests if we can, if there's a situation where like it's a weekend and they know that we don't have kids to drop off and pick up. Otherwise, they usually don't even ask us because it's rough. And I know that's hard for the guests too, but we also have things to do and have to be there at a certain time. So
sure. Yeah. And if that's what works for you guys to continue working and your clients respect it, like, you know, then more power to you. At least you communicated that. Okay. What is kind of your like onboarding process with an owner? I'm sure there are many clients you've said no to. What tells you if it's going to be a good fit?
Yeah. So in the beginning, honestly, I was taking on anything and everything. I thought I have to take every job, accept every client. I can't turn anybody down. And now it's gotten to the point kind of where it's like, I can pick and choose my clients. So what I typically do is I meet with them to go through a walkthrough at the property. I'll walk through the whole property. I always ask them what their laundry situation is because laundry is a big deal at the Airbnb. I like to ask them if they currently have a cleaning team. And if they do, what are your pain points? Why are you looking to switch? Just so I can make sure we're on the same page. And I have even turned down clients just because they're not on the same cleanliness level as us, if that makes sense, because it's like we have these really, really high standards. So we also charge more. And if you don't want those standards, you don't need it to be spotless, perfectly clean, then it's not going to be a good fit. So we want somebody who has high standards, has a nice property, wants to take care of their things, and knows you're going to pay a little bit more to get that good quality clean.
I have said so many times on this podcast that finding a good, reliable cleaner is the single most important thing you can do to ensure a successful STR business. And if anyone has ever dealt with a bad cleaner, you know I'm right about this. Turno is here to solve that problem for us hosts once and for all. With Turno's Cleaner Marketplace, you can find your dream cleaner and have access to a whole network of backup cleaners in case of emergency. Once you find your trusted cleaner, use the Turno app to manage and automate the entire cleaning process, from auto scheduling that gets synced directly to your booking calendar, auto payments, photo checklists, problem reporting, and inventory management. Right now, Turno is offering No Vacancy listeners a $150 Amazon gift card just for trying out Turno's Cleaner Marketplace and completing one clean with them. Just use the link turno.com/novacancy to unlock that offer and stop settling for cleaning quality that you're unhappy with. Again, that is turno.com/novacancy to find your dream cleaner and snag that bonus $150 Amazon gift card. How long are you guys usually spending at a property? I know that it's hard to say because you might bring different amounts of people depending on the needs that day. But I guess I'm just kind of thinking from the average person listening right now, if they're sitting there and they're like, okay, I have a 2-bed, 2-bath, 3-bed, 3-bath, like how long can they reasonably expect or how do you time it?
Yeah. So we have, like I said, we do have a couple smaller properties and I would say our minimum time spent at a property is 2 hours all the way up to 6. So anywhere between 2 and 6 hours, our larger properties, we are typically spending 4 to 5 hours on a rough day, maybe
per
6.
Per person, or that's like total if you bring 2 people?
So that's with 2 people. Both of us together are spending about 4 to 5 hours together.
Wow. Okay. And that's, and what would you classify as a big property? Anything over how many square feet?
We actually don't really go by square feet. We go by bedrooms. I always judge by how many bedrooms and how many bathrooms they have. And so usually anything over a 4-bed, I would say we need to send 2 people. Anything over four beds. We have some that sleep up to like 16.
Got it. When it comes to outdoor spaces, do you guys include that, or would that be up to like a landscaper or a different type of contractor you're hiring for that?
We do a little bit of outside work. We don't do any lawn care or anything like that, but we do at every clean. A lot of our houses have a nice big patio with a hot tub, tables, fire pit. So we'll go out there. We'll make sure there's no trash in the yard. We check the hot tub. We don't do hot tub maintenance, but we check the hot tub, straighten up the table, straighten up the chairs. And something that all of our hosts do is buy us a leaf blower, and we leaf blow every patio out front if we need to, just to make it look nice and neat. And that's a little key for some hosts. Buy your cleaners a leaf blower if you want the patio to look clean.
Okay, that just made me think of my next question. So you have the owners each buy a leaf blower for you. So you're not traveling. Like, what about like your vacuum or mop, other cleaning products? Are you taking that from place to place, or is the expectation that the owners provide all of that?
No, we do bring our own, and our owners actually have provided them, and we thought it was a really good idea. Nobody will have to bring their own supplies. And then we ended up bringing them anyway. I think everybody just kind of likes to use their own thing, and just knowing that like it's going to be reliable. We all have our Dysons, and we want our Dyson there, and we want our mop there. And we all do travel with our own supplies.
Okay. One thing I want to ask you from following you on Instagram is the properties you do, they all seem, when you go in, like they're already so clean. And I'm so curious, like, how do you, when you bring on a new client, like, do you do a full on deep clean with them, or do they get to that point just through the consistency of you being there? Like every time you open the oven, it's like already sparkling clean, you know, you maybe like wipe a little bit of grease, and I'm like, how did it even get to be this clean? Do you only take clients that have a brand new oven so you can maintain the cleanliness? Like, please break this down for us.
Okay. Kind of both. I mean, we have most of our houses were brand new when we started with them. And most of them were new appliances. However, we have had some that are not. And so we always will require, we're going to come in there and we're going to do a deep clean. We're going to charge more for that deep clean. And then after that, we're going to maintain it from here on out. We clean the oven. Since you brought up the oven, we clean the oven at every single clean. So it is just a quick wipe down. And that's how we maintain the cleanliness of the house. We never really have to deep clean.
Okay. So that deep clean is expected anytime you sign a new client. That is happening at the beginning, but then we get to just maintain. How often would you recommend a deep clean of the property after that? Like ever? Or are you just maintaining it well enough that that's not needed? I know for us, I'm in a really seasonal market. Winters are, it's a ski resort destination. And by the end of winter, we need a deep clean. Like those turnovers are just so quick in between. So do you guys ever like set anything like that, like every quarter or twice a year with the owners?
We don't. And I'm not saying I don't recommend it. There might be a time where you do need to, or like we'll come in and we'll say the carpets are really bad, the rugs are really bad, we need to shampoo things. And that's something that we actually end up doing later on, extra. If we have a day where nobody is checking in, we'll come in and we'll maybe shampoo rugs or carpets, try to catch up on those little things. However, I always try to promote, and this is kind of where my whole page started, is if you're maintaining, if we're in there twice a week, we're wiping the baseboards, we're cleaning the blinds, we're cleaning the oven, we shouldn't ever have to deep clean. So we really don't. We maintain it at every.
So what are the tasks that you're doing every single clean? Could you like run through? I mean, I'm sure that there's like 100 points on your checklist. I don't need to hear all 100, but like baseboards, that's one, for example, like our cleaner, we tell her to wipe them down once a month, but you're doing it every single clean. Okay.
So okay. I guess explained a little bit is my team knows and it's expected that you're checking those extra things. So of course we're doing all of the basics. We're in the kitchen, we're cleaning all of the appliances. We're cleaning the bathrooms, we're dusting, all of those basic things. However, my team knows that you are, as you're cleaning and you're walking around, you're looking at every baseboard, you're looking at every blind, you're looking at the window tracks, you're checking the vents and those little things, but they don't have to be done every single time. As long as you're checking it and you know that it's not dirty, or if it just takes a quick wipe, it'll take you 5 minutes to do it. So we just make sure that we're checking little spots instead of going around that deep clean, and you know what I mean? And so I guess going through the checklist, We're doing all of those basic things. Usually one of us cleans the kitchen, one of us starts on the bathrooms, then we tag team the dusting, checking all of those little things like the fans, the vents, the baseboards, doing all of that dusting and then making beds.
Okay, gotcha. Can I ask, when you do walk into a property and it's dirtier than usual, or like the guests left a bigger mess or something, at what point are you asking for additional compensation? I know sometimes I really want to be fair. I'll give you my personal experience. Our current cleaner, she is really good. I'm very happy with her. But one thing that drives me nuts is any time that the guest leaves it even a little messier, she's sending pictures and wants to be paid extra. And my thought is, how many times out of the two bedroom house do they only use one bedroom? Are they there for one night and they don't even shower? They go out to dinner, they didn't even use the kitchen. Like, I feel like it balances out, but do you tell me from your point of view, am I being unfair? Like, when do you get to ask for that extra compensation?
No. So I'll be honest, we have never asked for extra compensation.
Okay.
So, and we've talked to our host about this, and one of our hosts explained it really, really well. And now this is what I tell my team. If you want to go in there and get paid hourly instead of that flat rate, you're going to have a day where you go in there and they used one bed. They didn't touch the kitchen. They barely even slept there. You're going to be there for an hour and you're going to make maybe $30. And then you're going to have rough days where you're complaining and you're saying, it took me 5 to 6 hours. Now I should get paid more. But it all evens out when you have those easy days, because you will. So the hourly thing doesn't make sense if we tried to say, oh, I need compensated for these extra hours that I spent or these extra things that I did, because it really all evens out when you have those easy days, because you will. So we do not ask for extra compensation. We just know we're going to have easy days and we're going to have hard days. And that's kind of how it is with any job.
Okay, good. That's where my mind was. And I was like, am I being unfair? So it's good to hear a cleaner's perspective. But I was like, yeah, you never tell me when they only use one bedroom and ask for a discounted pay. So what is going on here?
Great pay on those days.
Exactly. Your personal policy, the properties that you do they allow pets? And if yes, are those owners charging a pet fee? Do you request extra for cleanup after a pet?
They do not. None of our properties accept pets. Of course, there's always the situation where there's a service dog and maybe somebody has to. And in that situation, they do require an extra charge. They do a deposit just to make sure nothing gets ruined. And then they also just charge a pet fee that is non-refundable. You don't get it back. But we don't run into that a lot. None of them do accept pets.
Okay, got it. Would you personally be willing to clean a property that did allow pets? Or is that just kind of a no-go for you? You don't want to deal with it.
It's a lot harder. And of course I will if I have to, but all of that hair and it throws everything off for me.
Sure. I think that's what's great is, like, through listening to you, you really have full control over, like, picking and choosing the clients you want to work with and stuff. I'm assuming, like, you wouldn't take a property that allowed, like, smoking, for example, or I don't know, do you kind of, like, do your owners ever ask you, like, what can we allow our guests to get away with? Confetti, glitter, like, do you ever weigh in on things like that?
We do. And our hosts are very good about asking our opinions, because we're the ones who have to deal with it.
Right.
And we have a lot of houses that end up throwing, like, bachelorette parties or birthday parties, big events, because they are large houses. So we've seen a lot of glitter and balloons and confetti. And we've said, can you please tell the guests no more confetti, no glitter. If you're going to hang things up on the wall, please take it down. So they do try to make it a little easier on us, but of course it still happens.
One thing I am absolutely craving for 2024 is simplicity, but we all know that the setup process for a new short-term rental is anything but simple. That is why I'm so excited to tell you about HostGPO. By shopping with HostGPO, you can save up to 75% on furniture, decor, linens, amenities, and supplies, and they only work with a few select brands that are tried and tested to stand up to the wear and tear of guests. With HostGPO, there is no overwhelm of comparing hundreds of brands, variations, and product reviews. You just shop for what you need and rest assured that you are getting the best quality at the best price. Over 300,000 properties are already purchasing through HostGPO, and as the pool of customers grows, so do the discounts that HostGPO can negotiate for us hosts. By signing up through my link in the show notes below, you'll get an exclusive 3 months of free access to start shopping on HostGPO today. Thank you so much to HostGPO for sponsoring the show and for making it so simple to set up and restock our STRs. What about when it comes to you guys get in there and you find a stained sheet, a stained towel, and you can't get the stain out? Are you like taking that documentation and giving it to the owners? What's like your protocol for helping them review the guest accurately or asking the guest for a reimbursement on something? What do you guys do there?
We have a really good system of communication. And again, I can go into all of that later too. However, we over communicate absolutely everything. And I tell my team that anytime something is stained, ruined, damaged, you have to report it. Otherwise, if it moves to the next guest, then we don't know when it happened. We don't know who it was. And so anytime you see a stain that you can't get out, anything that's damaged, we report it to the host right away. And they kind of trust us to make the call. If the stain's not going to come out, it's not going to come out. And we're not going to spend the whole time that we have there trying to get a stain out. So we have plenty of backup sheets on hand and they know that we need that. So we don't have to worry about tossing a sheet and moving on to the next, but we always let them know.
Okay, got it. And then things like if there was ever, I don't know, the kid got like slime in the rug or something like that, you're just taking photos of that and sending it straight to the owner to let them know.
Yes, yes. We send pictures of absolutely everything so that they can charge the guests if they need to.
Have there been cases where you were not able to get something out before the next guest check-in?
Honestly, no. Okay. Unless it was a stained sheet that we had to just toss, okay. We are able to get out pretty much carpet stains and couch stains, everything like that. I don't think that we've ever not been able to yet.
Okay. Here's another question. I've actually gotten this quite a few times from people. When it comes to something like board games, is it the cleaner's responsibility, would you say, to like go in and make sure all the pieces are put back exactly with the board game? Or, I mean, whatever, board game is just one example, but you know, if they use like a food processor, is it your guys' job to like put all of the little like blades and everything back together? Like, how does all of this get assigned and delegated?
To be honest, board games, no. Of course, okay. We clean them up and straighten them up, but we're not opening them to make sure that everything is okay in there.
Okay, that's great to know. And is there anything that you have encouraged hosts to put on the checkout instructions? Like, do you want guests to take trash out on their way out, start a load of laundry before they leave? What do you think is like acceptable to ask the guests to do?
Well, so this is interesting. We have two hosts that are completely opposite. We have one who has no checkout instructions, and his kind of thing is you come, you're on vacation, you shouldn't have to do a single thing. And then we have a host who has a long list of checkout instructions. Load the dishwasher, strip the sheets. If you can, start the laundry or throw the towels in the washer, take out your trash, those kinds of things. And it's funny because we see between the two, the one who does not have checkout instructions, the house ends up a lot dirtier. The one who does, not everybody follows it. However, it helps us out so much. And I know a lot of people think we shouldn't have to do that when we're on vacation. And I get that. However, if we want to spend that time actually cleaning and getting done what we need to get done, those little things like taking out the trash and starting the dishwasher help us on our end so much.
What would you say? I agree. We ask our guests, we have two things we ask for. We say, take trash out on your way out and then have the dishwasher loaded and running. Those are the only two things we ask for. I do mention, if you want to be extra helpful, our cleaners would appreciate if you started a load of laundry, but I don't like require that by any means. But those are like the two that we really ask for. From your point of view, if the host doesn't want to overburden their guests with a bunch of checkout instructions, but wants to help you guys, what would be like at minimum the things to ask for?
Bare minimum, throw all your trash away, take the trash out, put your dishes in the dishwasher, and that's it. Okay. We really don't expect anything else.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'm doing that good. Yes. Okay. So now I have to ask you, social media. How are you creating content while you are at a property for 4 or 5 hours doing all of the things that you're doing? Your content is so good. When do you even find the time to edit it by the time you're done being on your feet all day cleaning? Can you like demystify this for us? Your content game is just so good.
Thank you. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is so hard. And I think I've just really got used to it. However, I just treat it as like everything is content. And if I'm just setting up my phone, filming everything that I'm doing, at the end of the day, I'll have something to post, something to show, because people just enjoy seeing what I'm cleaning and what I'm doing. That kind of makes it easier on me a little bit, is like, I don't have to try to come up with so much content. It's more so just, they want to see what I'm doing. So I set up my phone from every angle. And what's funny is I don't even take a tripod. I literally prop my phone up on like chairs, windows, nightstands, my water bottle, wherever, or I'll have one of my team members who's with me take a video. So I try to just film everything that I'm doing. And then once I get home, if I have time to edit it and go through, I'll try to come up with something. However, the editing does take a long time. It's not easy.
It's not easy. Yeah. And I always wonder too, like, if there's times when you walk in and the property is worse than usual, it's like, oh, this is a really good time to get content, but also I'm pissed and like I want to get straight to work. Like, do you like, you remember in those moments, it's just such a habit now that you remember to prop your phone up?
Yeah. And I just think like it takes 2 seconds for me to start the video. I have a lot to do, but as long as I'm just filming something, I'll be able to come up with content somehow.
How many videos and photos do you have on your phone?
Let's find out. And I know it's a lot. It's a,
I cannot imagine the amount of like B-roll on there if you just scrubbing down a shower.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I have 50,000 photos and 23,000 videos. My poor phone.
Oh my God. Okay. I have like over 11,000 photos on my phone. I thought that was bad. 50,000 photos, 20,000 videos.
And it's either my kids or me cleaning. That's all it is.
It's all the content. Kids are cleaning.
All 3,000 of them.
How do you determine, or how have you found your favorite cleaning supplies? Is this just through trial and error? What are some cleaning supplies that you would recommend for us? And then follow up to that, do you have any owners that like insist on using like sustainable or organic products, and do they work as well? In my experience, they don't. Am I just using the wrong ones?
No. So I, at home, I try to use all natural products, which is fine because I don't treat it as so much of a deep clean. I mean, when you think about going into an Airbnb, some people would say like, yes, I'd absolutely love for them to use natural products. However, I'm thinking, I know what goes on in these Airbnbs. Please don't. So we, to answer that other question, we have no hosts that are specific about what we use. We can use whatever we want to use. And so the cleaning products, I have tried so many. And if you saw my house, my kitchen cabinets are mostly cleaning products versus actual kitchen items, because I try so many and it really is trial and error. I'll try something, and if I don't like it, it sits in the back of my cabinet and then I'll move on to the next. So I've tried so many different ones, but some that I highly recommend, and if you follow my page, you'll see it all the time. All Scrub Daddy products. I'm a huge fan. I use everything Scrub Daddy. If you want an all natural brand that works decently well, I love Koala Eco. That's what I use at home. And we do use some of their products in the Airbnbs too, but Scrub Daddy, we love scrubbing bubbles. We love our Dysons, and we all love the Oseeder mop. Every single one of us has an Oseeder mop, and we use it in the showers. We use it on the walls. We use it on the floors.
Okay. And so you're bringing that to every single property.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What kind of cleaning supplies, or at a minimum, would you request that owners leave for the guests? Because some guests do want to clean up after themselves as they go. What's like the most helpful to just have on site for that?
For sure, a vacuum and a broom. And then I always just recommend some type of counter cleaner, nothing else. I mean, they're not going to be in there cleaning mirrors or whatever that is. Keep a toilet brush possibly under the sink for them if they want to do something with the toilet. But I don't keep any, or suggest that they keep any deep cleaning items, just something to wipe the counters off. And I've kind of learned that some of our properties didn't have anything. And I suggested, hey, if they have something to clean off the counters, then maybe when we get there, the counters won't be quite so dirty. And I would feel the same way. If I'm a guest, I would want at least something to wipe down the counters and maybe clean the floors.
Yeah, I agree. I would want to be able to clean up after myself as well.
Right.
Are you guys bringing like your own rags and stuff to the properties as well, and then doing your like your own laundry offsite, or are you just using paper towels to clean, or what's that?
I use both. I use rags and paper towels. And then yes, we all bring our own rags, and then we take them offsite and clean them at home.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. What about things like, I don't know, washing out like the inside of the trash can, like stuff that's just like, it gets nasty sometimes, but it's, yeah. I don't know. Like you might not have to do it every clean, but like, what do you do for that? Like take it out and hose it down or?
Clean the trash cans every single time. And I will tell you the best thing to do is use your vacuum. Put an attachment on your vacuum, vacuum out the trash can, vacuum out the corners around the trash can. And then we wipe it down, wipe the whole thing down every single time. So those little things, I know it sounds silly, like cleaning the trash can, but those are the things that are very important to me.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. What about, I have to ask you this one, shower glass. How do you keep shower glass glistening? Like mine has so much hard water on it and Windex and like spray away. It doesn't get it. What product do I need to just get the actual soap scum off?
You need Scrub Daddy Tangerine Clean. Hands down, okay. Scrub Daddy Tangerine Clean in the orange can and then a Scrub Daddy. We start with that, wipe it off, and then you'll use your glass cleaner and finish it off that way. I also try to suggest to our host to keep a squeegee because when you're going in between guests and they're not wiping it down, that hard water is just going to keep building up. Even if it's there, some people aren't going to use it, but it'll help a little bit.
If you're anything like me, you got into the short-term rental game looking for passive income. And since then, you've found that managing your listing is anything but passive. Sound familiar? Between messaging guests, managing your calendar, overseeing maintenance, it's a lot to tackle, and Hospitable is here to help. Hospitable saves hosts like you time by taking recurring tasks and guest messaging off your plate. You can automate responses to common questions, schedule messages throughout the booking flow, and even get AI to draft messages for you. You'll also be able to manage your calendar across booking channels from one place and can integrate with third-party tools like smart locks and dynamic pricing. Hospitable is the highest rated software in the industry with a 4.9 out of 5 rating. Hospitable gives you confidence to automate more of your short-term rental management so you can get more of your valuable time back. Try Hospitable for free with a 14-day trial. And if you use this link, you'll get an additional 25% off for 3 full months. Just head to hospitable.com/novacancy. Again, that's hospitable.com/novacancy to claim your offer. Hospitable, sleep easy, host confidently. Do you have any owners that are doing midterm rentals, like 30 days at a time? And if they do a longer stay, do you guys ever try to insist, like send us in at least at the 2-week mark or something just to kind of keep up with that maintenance?
So we currently do not have any midterm rentals. However, we used to, and I kind of learned quickly that my team was not built for that. We are short-term rental cleaners, and we realized going into those midterms where they're there for 30 days, 60 days, whatever it might be, it's a lot harder. And some of those times we would even have a same day turnaround. And I realized quickly, like it's too hard. If you're coming in there after they've been there for 30 to 60 days, that realistically should be a 2-day clean. And I am so picky about everything that I just did not have the patience to deal with it because I couldn't get everything perfectly clean in that time frame. So no, okay. We don't have any midterms. However, I definitely would suggest doing a mid-stay clean for them, like 2 weeks in or however long they're staying. Get in there and at least do something so that it's not so bad when you get there at the end.
Okay, got it. What is some of the favorite stuff that guests have left behind in the fridge? What are things like when you open the fridge or freezer, you're like, score?
Well, anything that is unopened, we won't take anything that's already opened, of course. And sometimes it's good things, but we have to just throw it out, unfortunately. But guests leave a lot of alcohol, a lot of food, anything that is unopened, like sometimes we'll go and my son knows now to open the freezer and is like, there's popsicles, there's ice cream, there's pizza. But for me, I like to take the alcohol when they leave the alcohol. Sometimes they'll leave, when eggs were super expensive, sometimes they would leave big cartons of eggs where they maybe ate 1 or 2 eggs. And every time to me, that was like, I just scored. I got eggs, a whole carton of eggs.
That's epic. What about if people leave other things behind? Like, I don't know, guests leave... why can't I think of anything? Their watch, or like you find that they left a sweatshirt or something. Are you communicating that with the owner? And do you guys ever ship things back to guests?
Yeah. And it happens a lot, actually. And so with one of our hosts, I do just reach out to him. All of us will reach out to him right away to tell them they left something, and then he will take care of shipping it out. Our other host, I'm actually a co-host with all of his properties. So I have access to all of the messages, and I can message with the guests. So I will get a hold of them and say, you left this. Sometimes they don't want it back. Sometimes it's just a loss. Otherwise, we will ship it out to them if they want it back. But we always communicate it with them when they left something behind, for sure.
Okay, gotcha. One of the final questions I wanted to ask you, and this came from, I post on Instagram if anyone had questions for you, and somebody said that they have several properties and they wanted to take their cleaning team in-house and like kind of start their own cleaning company for their properties. What sort of tips would you have for them in that kind of situation?
Yeah. So I just thinking about starting my own team, I've held up this really, really high standard. And I think that's kind of where my Instagram came in, was I got my whole team from Instagram and they were watching me and know that I have this high standard. However, there are also ways when you're trying to build that dream team of having good communication, making sure you have a very, very clear checklist with them, because sometimes they don't know everything that has to be done. So when you're starting from square one, make sure that they know every expectation for your property. The walkthrough videos that I mentioned, make sure they're taking a video when they're finished so that you know how everything looks. Because I know as a host, you're going to worry every single time your cleaners leave, whether they're great or not. You're going to worry that everything was done. Do I need to go check on it before the guests get there? So taking those videos, making sure you have really good communication set up with them so that they know their expectations. They know when they need to communicate, something's damaged, something's broken, here's what happened. Your cleaners are really your eyes for your property. We're there far more often than the host is. So that communication is super important. I don't know if any of that was helpful.
No, I think it is. I think it is. Cause yeah, if you're going to start this company and like bring your cleaning in house, I feel like it's more important than ever. Right. Like I know you said you just won't accept like late checkouts, early check-ins, but if somebody wants to build their own cleaning team and that's a value to them, or that's something that they expect, I think it's just, you have to set those expectations from the beginning. I think you did answer it. And that brings up another point too. I know you said earlier that you actually really over communicate with your owners. At what point, which is great. And a lot of the questions I got actually were people were like, I expect so much communication from my cleaner. Like, am I being unfair? So I think a lot of people would love your approach, but I do think that there are some owners, I think this is me, I kind of don't want to be over communicated to. Like if somebody like, if there's blood in the sheets, like, I mean, tell me so I can replace it, but I kind of don't want to know the extent of like how they treated the property. It bums me out. So where do you find that line of just like, how bad should we tell them it was? Like how badly did guests disrespect the property? Because sometimes like it hurts. Like I don't want to know.
I can imagine. I don't have any, but I can only imagine. And we do have some hosts that I think don't, it's not that they don't care, but they more so just know it's going to happen and expect that some really bad days. They also, like I said, they trust us to make decisions to get rid of things if something's damaged or whatever it might be. But I just have that standard set for my team. Whether the host wants it or not, it holds us accountable so that I know they did everything that they could. They did everything like they should. If something was damaged, we're not going to come back and get scolded for it later. So even if the host does not want it, I really try to promote it and set it as an expectation for my team. Just please communicate everything. Sometimes they don't even answer when we are sending these messages while we're cleaning, but at least we know that we did it.
And you have the timestamps there and like the photo evidence documenting everything. Okay. Okay. And then what is your method of communication for that? Is that in real time updates as your team is like stumbling across these things, or is this all compiled and at the end of the cleaning, you're like, here's a report of everything that happened?
Yeah. I usually say wait until the end, just so that you're really focusing on the cleaning, unless it's something that maybe you can't move forward with and we need an answer. Otherwise, I say at the end, when you send your walkthrough video of the property, give updates like, hey, I had to throw away these sheets. They were damaged. Here's what they did to the garage. Here's what it looked like. Mm-hmm. So usually wait until you're finished, unless you can't move forward with something without telling them.
Okay. Okay. This was really, really helpful. I just love getting the perspective of a cleaner. I think that you guys are underappreciated very often. And it's like you said, you're at the properties more often than we are. You know more about what's going on in these properties than a lot of owners do. So it's good to get your perspective and know how we can support you guys. What are last thing I'll finish with, what are like some of the easiest way that a host can make you guys feel more supported and just like you guys are a team and they want to make your job as easy as possible? What's like, let's just say like three things that an owner could do today to help set their cleaners up for success?
I would say first and foremost, good communication. We love that they are actually focusing on us, responding to our messages, knowing that like they care about what we're doing in there and our job is important. So good communication. I would say secondly, respecting our opinions. So kind of when we're setting those expectations and saying, here's how we do things, just knowing that they're going to trust us to do our job. We do a good job. Trust us that we're making the right decisions. And maybe so that they're not having that fear of, oh, I have to go in there every single time after the cleaners leave. We like to have that trust that they know we're doing everything that we can and it's going to be perfect. So you don't need to go in there and check on it. And I know that's hard. Let me think of a third one real quick. I'm sorry.
I know I put you on the spot with that.
Good communication, trusting us, and I don't know if I can come up with a third one.
Okay, that's okay.
I feel like those two
I'll come up with a third one for you. I think a huge thing I've seen is whenever a cleaner says, like, we've had situations where the cleaners have told us, like, in this unit, the washer and dryer are not working. Can they be replaced or something? And if it's our own unit, we will in a heartbeat replace it. But I manage for other owners that sometimes don't want to. And they're like, can't they use it? And that's just like one thing that grinds my gears. It's like, if they are telling you that you need like a new dishwasher, that it's leaving things dirty or something, like you have to do it. Like that is
that's a really good one. And now that you bring that up, I am thinking too, that our hosts know, like we're coming into these houses and I don't know if you watch my Instagram, you will see we have double washer and dryers at a lot of our properties. And that is because we advocated that that's something that
really?
We
need. Okay.
And you only had one washer and dryer and we could not finish the laundry. We refuse to take home laundry and we're not going to continue to do this job unless you figure out the laundry. And I know that sounds a little harsh, but it's like our hosts respect those opinions that we're giving them because we're trying to do our job.
Yeah. And they're hiring you to take that on to like be responsible for that job. So if that's what you need to get the job done, they should respect that. Okay. So the units that have double washer and dryers, is that mostly for like the 4-bedroom plus?
Yes. Yeah. So okay. We have some that are small that obviously don't need double washer and dryers, but any of our houses that have at least 4 beds, we have 2 washer and dryers at every single property.
Okay. Okay. And I love you advocated for that. You're very inspiring, Whitney. I feel like you just like went out there and you're like, all right, I'm going to start this business and I'm going to do it the way that I want and only work with the people I want and demand the things that I want. And you got it.
It hasn't always been that way, but yes, it's a good place now.
Do you have a long list of like a long wait list of clients right now?
We do.
I can imagine.
And so long story short, we used to have 24 properties and I had a team of 13. I had like this goal of building this huge cleaning business. And I realized very quickly, I don't need to do this. I don't need to work with so many different people. I don't need to say yes to everybody. So we really cut back just so that we can keep the quality and not manage as many people. And it really is a good place to be in. It's like, we have a long wait list of people. We can pick and choose our clients. We're going to do things this way. And if you don't like it, we're moving on to the next.
At this moment, how many cleaners do you have working under your team and how many properties are you doing?
Now we have 10 people on my team and that's including myself. I include myself as part of the team. And then we have 10 properties. So a good ratio, honestly.
Well, congratulations. I really love hearing about your business and everything. I love watching your content. So please keep sharing it. The 50,000 photos and 20,000 videos are much appreciated. Okay.
Yes. I have a lot of content in there I can post.
Thank you so much, Whitney. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
And then if people want to connect with you or get on your lengthy wait list, best place to do that is just through Instagram.
Instagram, and I have my email on there and everything. So yes.
Okay. We'll link that below. Thank you so much. And finally, for this week's Am I the Airbnb Hole? I'm just going to read you this one and you guys can help me decide how we want to react because I'm not sure. Okay. So this host posted a screenshot of an interaction between him and a guest and says, how do you respond to this? I don't really want to cancel as he's paying a lot of money, but this message took me by surprise. What does he mean by this? So we can see that the guest inquired, or they actually booked, the dates are confirmed April 25th through May 12th for over $8,000. So pretty good reservation, okay? And the host responded in the initial message and says, thank you for your booking. Just so you know, if you're not married, you will need to book two rooms instead of one for both of you. Okay, a little bit strange. If you're not married, you'll need to book two rooms instead of one for both of you. The guest says, great, thank you once again. Host says, thanks again for your booking. Please note when you arrive, my cleaner may still be polishing some things up. The previous guest spilled some red Kool-Aid on the carpet, so please ignore the stain. It is just Kool-Aid. As mentioned, if you need assistance during your stay, please call me directly. Even in an emergency, please do not call anyone else because they will not be able to help you get proper help. Enjoy your stay. Guest says, cool. Sorry for this question, but are you circumcised? What? What? I'm extremely confused. I'm confused on a lot of things here. First of all, the whole, if you're not married, you need to book two rooms instead of one for both of you. That already, I started reading the comments here because I needed to know what other people were thinking. I started reading the comments and a lot of people said that in certain countries, it is forbidden for unmarried couples to stay together. Okay, I can see that, but there's nothing in here to, like, I don't know, insinuate that he's in another country. I'm not really sure. There were comments saying that they think that the guest asked the circumcised question because it was kind of like a smart ass move, you know, like, oh, if you're going to say that I have to book two rooms if I'm not married, I'm going to ask you about the status of your foreskin. So I don't know. That's what a lot of the comments said. But I don't really know if I buy that because the way when the host initially said, by the way, if you're not married, you'll need to book two rooms instead of one for both of you. The guest responded and said, great, thank you once again. Done. Like, put a pin in it. And then a following message the next day is, thanks again for your booking. Please note when you arrive, my cleaner may still be polishing, yada, yada, yada. And then the guest says, cool, sorry for the question, but are you circumcised? Like, where did this just come from? I don't know. All the comments seem to think that it's him being like a smart aleck in response to the married booking two rooms thing. I don't know. Let me see. I'm trying to read more of the comments. And there are people in the comments saying what country is your listing in? And he's not responding. So maybe he is in another country where that's required. But if that's the case, then like, what are you going to do? Ask for a marriage certificate or a marriage license? Like, what is the proof here? Somebody just commented and said, well, are you circumcised? So we don't really have an answer to that. Yeah, you guys, I'm extremely confused. I feel like the host is a little out of line setting these kind of parameters in booking. The guest is a little out of line in asking this question. But, you know, for a booking from April 25th to May 12th, what's that, like 3 weeks? That's like a 2.5-3 week booking. Over $8,000. I think I would take it. So what would you guys do? What do you think was meant by this? Do you think that this listing was in another country? There's nothing here to imply that it was. But like, it's just such a random thing to require. Yeah, I don't know.
And with that, it is now checkout time. Thanks for listening and I'll see you back here next week. Lastly, as Airbnb hosts, we all can appreciate a good 5-star review. So you already know a great review on this podcast would mean so much to me. Please subscribe, review, share, and connect with me in the show notes below. Bye.